Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to yet again another unwanted episode of the One Lumper Two Productions podcast. I am your host, of course, Mr. Lumpy, and I'm joined this evening by my partner in crime, the master of taint, the Duke of Cum Destruction.
Am I supposed to say my
name? He couldn't be here. He couldn't be here. So, my lovely friend AJ is here today, a returning, I'm not going to say guest, a returning, more like an absent father of this podcast.
I'll take that.
Yeah, rarely seen, even more rarely heard, but what's the truth is that he's very unwanted, so it's not totally going to miss. But some of you will be familiar with his dulcet tones.
What word was it?
Dulcet.
Wow.
What does it mean? I don't know.
Okay.
Do I care? I don't care.
It sounds intelligent.
Do you know what, AJ? In my life, I have learned one thing.
What's that?
That was it.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Can I ask, why are you Mr. Lumpy?
Actually, I will tell you what I've learned.
All right, let's go back to that.
Sorry. Is that when you make toast, when it comes out of the toaster, to place it on top of the hot toaster to let the butter melt so you don't get the weird bread sweat under the plate. That's what I've learned.
That's useful to me in no way. I don't really make toast all that often.
No.
But thank you for sharing.
No.
So, yeah, sorry. Just back to my previous point.
Well, the other things are...
Mr. Lumpy, where's that come from? Why Mr. Lumpy?
My kidney stones.
Your kidney stones? I thought maybe it was like the lump in your balls or something.
That's no, the fib lump in my balls was actually one time when I swallowed a piece of large gum. It kind of got dislodged on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My body mistook it for an absent testicle.
Okay.
And tried to put it back. So if anybody has ever seen my ejectile...
Guilty.
It has a bit of a weird blue gum look.
That's disturbing, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, besides that, how are things with you? How's life treating you these days?
Do you see that the punching bag in any of the Rocky films?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, I'm the piece of duct tape on it that's being torn to shit.
Okay.
Yep.
So life's got you down.
No.
No, you're just no. Okay.
I'm very much a standing up kind of pummel right now.
Oh. Okay. So no complaints in life. No.
Asthma.
No. Okay.
Asthma. Particular complaints?
Get specific. Let's have a breakthrough of sorts if we can.
I'm not fond of the ergonomic handle on my snow shovel.
That seems like a legit problem. You want to talk about that one?
No, just
any problems that we can like delve into and get to the bottom of.
The door actuator on my car needs replacing.
No, that's not interesting to me. Something that we can delve into and, you know, maybe in the process learn something about you.
I recently found a new method for wire management in computers.
That interests me, but it won't interest the three viewers that we get.
Speaking of viewers.
Yeah, you just said they're not viewers.
Fuck you. I'd like to give a personal shout out and commemoration to our listeners in the great country of Somalia.
Now,
from which only the best pirates shend.
So you brought that up. Mm. People from Somalia listen to this podcast.
Yes,
how can that be? That seems not true.
Are you saying, AJ, that either the people of Somalia do not have the capability to listen to a podcast, or that I am lying?
I think people in Somalia have better things to do. They have greater things to worry about.
Like what?
Where am I going
to
eat? What am I going to eat?
Yeah, but you know, AJ, I think that's why I connect with them. Is because I share their urgency for a meal.
And that's what's getting across? That's what's appealing to them?
I don't know, AJ. I mean, let's face it. A fat white boy is always appealing.
Depends, yes. Yes, yes, look pedophile, at, yeah.
Look at almost nobody I can think of.
You can't name one fat white boy?
Not John Candy.
Yeah.
And the guy from Little Tommy.
Little Tommy. Well, like, Tommy Boy?
Tommy Boy.
Where does Little Tommy come from?
Little Tommy. The other Tommy and Tommy Boy.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is John Candy and David Spade.
How do we get from Somalia to David's
food,
baby.
AJ, food.
Food.
Today's podcast, AJ.
Yes.
Is about the great food sink that's happening in the world.
So there is a theme in each podcast?
There is a theme, AJ.
I didn't pick up on that.
In each podcast, and it is that we talk utter bullshit.
Okay.
And somebody is listening.
That's the part I have trouble with, that people would actually listen to this.
Well, as the co-founder of this company, AJ, you should not be questioning.
It seems strange to me. Like, what's appealing about me and you talking about nothing?
Do you know what, AJ? I think when you and I were growing up, sometime in the mid to late 1980s, we believed that we were two unique stars in the universe, that nobody was like us, that we had to crowd down in a closet somewhere and hide like Harry Potter from the world. Every once in a while, run off to a little magical kingdom. And then you grow up, AJ, and you have a platform like this, provided by our lovely folks at Podomatic, to,
you get 50 cents.
50 cents, That pays for a button that's never gonna pop up my next pair of pants.
That's what you needed. Yeah.
And, then you realize, AJ, that as you get older, there's like 6 billion people on the world.
On the world.
Huh?
On the world.
For me, it's in it. The ozone layer protects the earth.
No, you said on.
Did I say on the world? Did I really?
You've been drinking? Coffee, though. That wouldn't explain the brain farts.
Actually, it probably would.
It would explain the ass farts.
Probably would.
Anyways, what the fuck is... You lost me at Harry Potter.
Yeah, so... Harry Potter, AJ. But what I'm saying is, AJ, is that the lovely thing about podcasts is that it allows other people... who are perhaps more degenerate than us.
Hard to imagine.
But there's 6 billion people somewhere within this atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. That's one way to put it.
So somebody somewhere, like our two lovely fellows in Somalia.
Is it two? You have this...
Two downloads every time a new podcast comes out.
In Somalia.
In the great... When you say Somalia, AJ.
Yeah.
You must preface it with the word great.
Great Somalia.
The great Somalia.
Is there any chance it's the same dude downloading it twice?
I don't care.
Two downloads is two downloads.
Two downloads, AJ. For example, AJ.
Yes.
If I do 10 push-ups, does it matter if I do 10 or somebody else does 10? It does not matter, AJ. It just matters that 10 push-ups were done. That's what matters.
I don't agree with that logic at all.
For example, AJ, does the Mandarin care that if I go there and eat for 10, or 10 people come and eat for one, does it matter to them? No.
I was never good at math. You lost me.
No. I believe, AJ, though, perhaps a good topic of conversation would be to reveal to our listener...
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Wait, my mom or your mom? Who listens?
I call her Mom, too.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I call her Mommy.
That's fine.
I call her Mistress Mommy. Look, so I believe we should educate the listeners, AJ, as to how you and I... became what is called in modern vernacular.
Yes.
Friends with benefits. In that I'm part of a union, so you get covered under my benefits.
Right. So where specifically what do you wanna delve into? What do you want to talk about?
Do you ever recall when we first met? Because I don't.
I've tried to block it out. But
apparently I have, because I don't remember.
Yeah, no, good. You've been successful at it. If I had to guess, it was at school.
Really?
No?
A place where you rarely were. That's why I'm saying really.
Right. It was at school. I don't know, Mr. Lumpy, are we allowed to say what school? Or no, should we keep
we'll
that?
Save it.
We'll save it?
We'll save it. We'll save it for when it becomes less famous.
Okay. Yeah, I think we met at school. I think one of us was getting butt-fucked and the other helped out. Does that... No, sorry.
With the thrusting?
No, sorry. I'm thinking of another...
Another school.
I'm thinking of an old teacher friend I had. I don't know where we met. I'll tell you the truth, though. This is not a joke. I do remember disliking you a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I really,
yeah, why?
I think you disliked me, too. You probably don't remember. I don't know. I think it was just...
In all honesty, it's there are very few people I genuinely dislike.
And I was one that's an honor in its way.
You know all three of them. No,
yeah.
No, I'm joking. I love everybody. I'm a big lover of humanity.
Yeah. You love all everybody.
I do.
Mexicans give you... You're not a huge fan of them.
No. See, that's not entirely true.
You like your food.
Yes.
That's the thing. what was I saying? High school. Yeah, I didn't, I think you didn't like me because, like, you were jealous maybe? I was just, like, handsome as hell? That's one way to put it, I think maybe that
yeah,
was it.
Yeah.
No, in all honesty, I think it was you were, it's fair to say you were a popular guy in school, no?
Popularity in the sense that I was one of the weirder attractions in the circus, maybe.
Yeah.
That's, I was very much like the fat haired lady.
Yeah, you could. Well, you were though. You were a fat lady, and you had hair.
No,
on
see,
you.
Popular. I won't reside to. It's very much.
No, but see, you don't
you
have
know,
an
like,
objective view of
you
it.
You know, like Tom and Kate plus eight.
Sure.
It wasn't like that.
Okay.
No.
You were well known. No. You know, like you had a reputation.
It's very unhumble for me to say anything in this situation.
All right, so let's just move on.
Yes, but perhaps at that time I was maybe working through some things.
I don't mean to get that personal. For God's sakes,
I'm still working through some things.
You know what I was? I think your tits came in early compared to everybody else.
You know
and that was attractive.
That is before I went to high school.
Yeah,
like so many students going into high school for the first time, I asked my mother, why have my breasts not grown?
Mm-hmm.
Mom, when will my titties arrive?
And your mother said what?
And I wished all summer age between grade 8 and grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
I crossed my arms, I crossed my legs, I hoped to die.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a high intensity, dairy, low protein, high starch diet.
That doesn't sound legit.
And before I could say double D,
yeah,
I was getting a breast reduction.
See, that's...
That, AJ, and you know, maybe that explains the attraction towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, AJ, it was very rare I let these puppies hide.
Yeah. No, you flaunted what
you
had.
Do you know, it's no coincidence that when we went to high school, the song Who Let the Dogs Out came out.
Yeah, that was based on you, that song? Is that what you're saying?
It was not me, AJ. It was based on my boys.
Based on your tits.
Because my boys did all the work. At that time, AJ, they looked like two big old bottle of Bailey's in there. Now they look like...
Mm-hmm.
Dried out piping bags.
If that's not a promotion for Bailey's, I don't know what is. But let's not downplay.
Also, some very weird brown cream used to come out.
I was a beneficiary of that more than once. Let's not downplay.
I used to call myself the succulent of life.
I think I gave you that nickname, no?
Yeah, you did. I read it once on a bathroom stall. And
yeah.
I didn't keep it.
You had a fabulous ass, though, too. I just.
Well, I was very lucky that the school uniform accentuated my natural,
yeah,
my natural curves.
So that's what I mean. You were popular in that sense that the guys wanted
and
to fuck you.
Yes, and that's where the name,
yeah,
Mr. Lumpy came from, because you came for a lump and you left with a lump.
Ah,
that's
there you go. That makes sense.
That was my old saying.
That makes sense in some backwards logical
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, yeah, you were more well known than me, and I think that was the source of my let's say distaste for each other. Does that?
I'm not quite sure. I like this definition of my high school career.
All right. Well, if it helps, if it helps,
we'll leave it there.
You didn't mention your name or the school.
No.
So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Someone's clearly we touched a nerve with that one. Let's move the fuck on. Okay.
It's very hard touching my nerves. They're buried through a thick layer of fat
and gravy.
Yeah.
Specifically.
That's why actually, if I'm punched, I feel great. If anything, it actually reshocks my system.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Where were we going with this? High school? Oh, yeah, where we met? All right, let's just not go with
that. Yeah, where we met. I believe, AJ, the first time I recalled you as a fully formed human being.
Yeah. You mean you do?
Outside of the womb.
Yeah.
The womb.
Yeah.
That's what people say. You know, if you ever go to a doctor's lecture.
A doctor's lecture?
A doctor's lecture.
I have no reason to go to those.
So if you go in, I do because I'm the specimen being examined by the class.
Oh.
If you ever go,
yes,
to that, you'll notice a natural inclination, like a crescendo in voice. Mm-hmm. With the talking, you know, they say, pregnant woman may experience contraction in the womb. That's how, that is, if you read it in the book, AJ,
yeah,
that's how it's meant to be said.
That's almost like the medical
believe
pronunciation.
Believe me, AJ, I have no training in this field. I can tell you exactly what needs to be done.
The womb. So we met, and...
I think it was during the warmer months.
Uh-huh.
The warmer months.
Yeah.
I believe it was the first time we played cards together.
Oh, okay. So you didn't block it out completely. You have some...
No, now that's coming back to me like some kind of war memory.
Oh, is this when you forced me to play strip poker with you in the washroom? Or again, I'm getting you mixed up with teachers.
It wasn't forced, did you?
Yeah, true.
See, that's the key thing in case you're in front of a judge. Mm-hmm. It was consensual.
It was consensual.
Yeah. Anyway, sure. Go ahead.
No, playing cards.
I believe we're playing cards with a few mutual friends.
Mutual friends.
Can
you recall the game?
It was probably Texas Hold'em, knowing us.
Texas Hold'em. Could have been Goldfish. Could have been President. That was big. Remember President? No?
And to be honest, I do play on occasion.
I remember that was big. That's why.
But I still don't know the rules to that game.
Do you know the rules to Texas Hold'em? When you
vaguely.
Yeah.
I know that the best 8 cards win.
Oh, God. See, what's troubling to me is the fact that we played often, and you won often, and you didn't know what the fuck you were doing.
No, I knew what I'm doing.
No,
I knew vaguely what I was doing.
You didn't know the rules.
the unsaid rules.
No. Here, I'll tell you what it was. You didn't know the rules. You didn't know what hand beats what hand. You didn't know when it was your turn.
I didn't know the three top hands, what they beat. So, for example, I wasn't sure the order of a, I'm still not sure the order of a flush.
Yeah.
A full house and a straight.
I have a flush, you have a full house, who wins?
Me.
Yes.
Okay, but I have a flush, you have a straight, who wins?
You tell me.
You.
No. I have a straight, you have flush beats a straight.
Really?
Yeah. And how much money did you win playing poker? You didn't know shit.
No, I just didn't know those hands.
You know what it was? You were so aggressive. That's what, like, no joke here, I'm just being honest. Yeah. You were very aggressive and people were like, what the fuck? You were willing to part with 10, 20 bucks, whoever the fuck we were playing with, and everybody else was like, oh fuck no, I don't want to do that.
You see, EJ, at that time, in my life, seems ages ago, seems like I was a different person.
Uh-huh.
Which is unlikely, because I was still obese. Mm-hmm. But, you see, I didn't come to play cards to win.
You wanted to...
I just came to play cards to fuck with people.
Yeah, I believe that. I honestly do. But it worked, like, because financially
for
speaking.
For me, that was my fun.
Just fucking...
And it wasn't like I didn't reimburse the winnings amongst the...
Yeah,
the others.
I'll give credit where credit is due. You paid for a lot of meals.
Because I was not in it for that. I was in it for a good time with my friends.
Right.
But too bad none of them could ever be there. Yeah. But.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. No, but see, it worked in your favor, I'm saying.
I don't think people are just aware as to how professional we got at a certain point with playing cards.
Oh.
Some people might say, if we told them, we bought the chips. Like, oh, that's normal. Mm-hmm. But we bought professional chips. It wasn't like we just bought
and
some plastic chips.
They were expensive.
They were expensive. Then they go, oh, okay. Then you say, we bought a table.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, some people would. But then, every month or every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks is more like it. Maybe every
maybe,
week.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, there was a stretch every week. We used to get a gentleman to come deal.
Deal cards.
To actually come deal.
And his rates were disgusting.
Yeah, we paid quite a lot. And with quite a lot. But look.
Yeah.
It was worth it. We had a lot of good times.
And he gave good handjobs. So it,
you know.
The money was earned in other ways.
For somebody like our friend Vietz, who always was just standing there.
Vietz. That's not where I was told not to mention specific names. Vietz. Vietz is close.
Huh?
Who? What? Okay, yeah. So anyways, poker, yeah. Mm. So, you recall you and I meeting at a game of poker. Why are we talking about where you and I, this is...
Because I think it's nice to give people a little back...
A little backstory?
A backstory.
Is it funny?
For example, I was sitting on my back covering.
I'll see you later tonight. Be able to read it three times over.
It's a nice big letters. It's the story of Deuteronomy.
Did you create a bullseye for me or no?
No.
Alright, I'll just improvise.
My back has a natural obese swell on it. That acts as a nice little...
I'll just improvise one or I just won't pull out.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
So yeah.
I needed a colonoscopy anyway.
Is it,
an enema.
Is it just a coincidence that you bring this up, so close to Valentine's Day? The fact that...
That we're in love?
Well, that's one thing, but bringing up, you know, where this relationship, how it blossomed, where we first met.
You know, AJ, this relationship is what I'm going to describe as the life of a houseplant.
That makes perfect sense. No, I already got it.
You get it, right?
No,
let me explain.
Yeah.
So when somebody, like my mother recently did, she bought a geranium, I believe, for the house.
She bought a what?
Like geranium.
Geranium. The fact that you know proper names of flowers suggests something weird.
Well, as you know, AJ, gardening is one of my hobbies. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you buy a houseplant at this time of year, pre-Easter, and within a week, they bloom. They're gorgeous. Fantastic. They
blossom.
They blossom. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Radiant, pungent smell, an enormously beautiful smell. Then, about a week after that, the plant becomes too heavy for itself. It is overburdened mm-hmm. with petals.
Overburdened.
And pollen.
Sure.
And fragrance. So it begins to droop.
Mm-hmm.
Some of rich tips do, like ours. They blossom quickly, beautiful radiance, and knocking out everyone around them as a kind of floral atomic bomb. Then, AJ, a week later, with these flowers,
mm-hmm.
they become, like I said, burdened by each other. They become heavy.
Yeah.
And they have to be propped up by string. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to be forced together.
Yeah.
Then, like so many houseplants, they end up being kept too long, so they're never really allowed to die.
Yeah.
That's essentially where we are, in the artificial life stage.
I stopped listening 55 seconds ago, but you seem to...
Sorry if my poetry wasn't good enough for you.
You seemed enjoying what you were saying, so that's good enough for me. I brought up Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Any plans for Valentine's Day? No?
Ex-hamster and a shot of whiskey.
That's that's your cue to ask me out. Are we not...
Hey, let's...
Are we not doing anything?
What is your worst dating experience?
I'm gonna have to pass on that one. It's just way too embarrassing.
They've all been great there.
I have no embarrassing moments.
No?
No. Why, you brought it up. Do you have something to share with us? A bad date? Go ahead.
It's not really a date, but,
it was an appointment with a hooker?
One time my testicles exploded at a...
Oh, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
Michael and Chris have discussed this on previous episodes, I believe.
Oh, you're serious? You're talking about at the restaurant.
Did you remember that?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
You know what's funny is, like I was telling Michael and Chris 2 weeks ago, I still have no memory of that actually happening.
That's unfortunate, because you scarred us, and there's no way we can not remember that. So, it's convenient for you if you don't remember.
Do you think...
Your balls are terrible looking? Yes.
No, but do you think that your scrotum is the only part of your body that won't show age?
Because it already looks like it belongs to a 80-year-old cancer patient. No?
Why have you seen their testicles? Why have you seen your cancer patient's testicles?
I hang around retirement homes.
Just hang on them like a little chipmunk.
I'm curious. Yeah. Mm. That's a good point, though. Yeah, your scrotum doesn't seem to age.
And your weenus. I think your weenus will also...
For those who can't see, which is everybody who's listening.
Yep.
Gasper's pointing at his elbow. Is that what a weenus is?
Yep. I think that part there.
Yeah.
Will also age very well.
Sure. Okay. Mm.
Let's face it, I won't. I'm planning for cardiac arrest at 29.
You keep telling me you're 24, 25. You look like you're pushing 60.
See, do you think eventually...
Yeah.
I will actually... At what age? Good question for you. For me.
Question for me to ask you?
Yeah, no, for you to answer about me. At what age do you finally think I'll look my age? Because you know me, what, now 10 years?
Fuck, seems longer than that.
Probably even more, because we probably met at birthday parties. Do you remember?
Okay, if you say so. So the question is, when will you look your age?
Mm. My guess is between 35 and 40.
That's oddly specific, as though you've thought about this. It's who?
No, it's only 5 years. 5 years is a big time. So.
Okay, yeah. 35, 40 is when you're gonna look your age.
Yeah.
I think maybe... Go ahead. You see?
There you go.
I think you're gonna look your age maybe when you're... Yeah, maybe 80, 90? Cause after...
Inches long?
Yeah. Like after 80, all people look, you know?
To be honest...
The same.
I'm sure you would say about your grandfather, grandparents. They've looked the same their whole life to you.
Well, yeah, I've only known them as old fucks, you know? Sorry not to...
That's what I mean. Like my grandmother, every time she has a birthday, I'm like, what's the point? You look exactly the same.
What? You could say that about anybody, though, really. From 30 up, right?
And you know when you were like very small and somebody said they were like 18, you were like...
Yeah. How strange is that?
You're like, now I look at somebody 18, I'm like, you know nothing, boy.
Yeah. Well, no, not even... When I was in school, the few days I went, like people... You know, 26, 25, 26 seemed like fucking you next to death. Like it was, your life was lived and you were done. Now I'm there and, my life's kind of in the shitter. Sorry, I don't want this podcast to go dramatic. But this is my cry for help. Whatever your name is.
One rule. Just one fucking rule.
You can beep it out.
One rule. It's okay. I'll leave it in. I'll leave everything in.
Yeah. You never take it out when you're supposed to.
No.
All right.
That's actually the artist's innocence in mankind.
Let's shift gears.
At the moment of ejaculation.
Oh, God.
move back.
Yeah.
That's never, never happening.
Let's shift gears if you don't mind. Or have we tackled this Valentine's Day thing completely?
I don't have any Valentine's Day stories. I'm very unfortunate for obvious reasons to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame when it comes to Valentine's.
Yeah.
My hit rate for Valentine's is basically on myself on Valentine's.
Do you have a favorite Valentine's
Day? You know what's actually the thing is that I don't even like chocolate, so I can't even eat chocolate during this time of year.
So there's no fond memories of Valentine's Day?
There's fondant memories.
Fondant.
Which is the icing on top of cakes.
You lost
that joke. That joke would hit with that joke with some people. I have to laugh at myself because that was a great joke that nobody's gonna get.
Yeah, it was well timed.
Thank you.
So nothing, eh?
Thank you, AJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm assuming you have less than me.
Well, no, just Candy. The hooker's name is Candy. That's what I'm. That's
oh, you
my
know
night.
Her?
Yeah, yeah. Every Valentine's.
She's still
day.
Wearing that house arrest bracelet.
What?
The house arrest bracelet. She's still wearing that?
I don't know. She keeps boots on the entire
Sometimes
time.
Sometimes she uses it on me as a cock ring.
Really?
More like a cock shovel.
I think we got to a weird place. I didn't want to get here.
She said the busing makes it give us an extra little.
When you had it on your cock. When you had it on your cock, you purposely went beyond the limits just to get that
just the tingling, yeah. Because when you're diabetic like me, you have no nerve sensation.
You're diabetic?
Yeah, basically. So
I'm diagnosed.
Self-diagnosed. So it's just safer if I start saying it now, so I get used to saying it.
Right.
Because you know, like in 3 months when I get diagnosed.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So she puts on there for a little bit of extra jiggle. Yeah.
Yeah, good old Candy. She's good like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Valentine's Day, I think it's safe to say,
what's
not, safe? No, not an important, is it a holiday? I was gonna say holiday.
It's the only day of the year you and I have not had dinner together on.
We're bears to be seen.
I think over the last maybe 7 years.
Yeah.
We've had dinner together.
Yeah.
Maybe not consecutive days.
No.
But every other day of the year, excluding New Year's and Christmas.
We've hit them all.
Which is family.
Yeah.
We've hit them all.
Halloween.
I believe even one Thanksgiving, you and I late at night went for all-you-can-eat breakfast. So is that not true? No, you can eat all-day breakfast, I should say.
If that's what happened, I'm ashamed of it.
I think we did.
But we purposely avoid Valentine's Day just to not be seen. Just
people already think we're a gay couple when we go to eat.
When we start slamming each other on the tables.
What is it even that we're slamming?
Is that not how it is? Is that not what happens?
You know, you could say lovemaking, menage a trois.
No, that doesn't capture the raw... What you and I do. I think the word slamming really...
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, it's more slamming because both of us are flaccid.
We just basically... That's just so stupid. It's just basically...
Both of us are flaccid, so it's actually just two bodies colliding.
It's just our vaginas being smushed together. That's what it is.
A good old vagina pie.
Yeah. Wow, a lot of secrets got revealed there.
Yeah.
That was unintended. So, no plans then for Valentine's Day.
No, I'll probably watch one of the Madea movies.
Yeah, okay.
I had to work that in.
Yeah.
To work it in.
Well, since you brought it up, you're a fan of the Madea.
I'm a fan of almost any cross-dressing man.
Not even in film, just in general, any cross-dressing man.
In general.
Okay.
No, but you and I watch the Madea movies.
And yeah, I'm critical of them. How is that fair?
True.
That's just the end of that.
That's the end of it. That's very much just a self-contained statement.
Yeah.
I think they're great. I always have a little bit of a laugh out loud moment.
Yeah.
Some are better than others, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This recent one I watched.
Yeah.
Made me chuckle. Made me chuckle in my boots.
Can I ask what appeals to you about men dressing up in women's clothing?
Is you know, AJ, it's a life I wish I could lead.
So why don't you?
Because a leader, because as a leader in the trans community for fashion.
Yeah. That's what you are?
There's some say.
Okay.
Some say. Read my blog.
Some say. yeah.
But it's true. If I had to choose another career, this is a career.
You have a career?
I don't really.
Okay.
If I had to choose, if I do something different with my life.
Yeah.
I would probably go into fashion design.
Interesting. What appeals to you about fashion design?
I like clothes, and I think no matter who says it, I think the right clothes on the right person makes them feel better.
Yes, I guess some people would agree with you. I don't
know. No, you would agree too. I know you would agree because I know you. That for almost anybody, when they're wearing, I want something that, cause sometimes you wear something new when you, you know, you just feel, you feel better, you feel more.
No, I don't relate to that.
Can you for one day have a decent academic conversation?
You got the wrong guy, buddy.
No, I...
Fashion, yeah, so your point is what?
But I don't know, I don't know to what extent I would, push modern fashion. I'm more of a classicalist.
A classicalist.
In my style. I call my, I'm more of like a retro shabby look.
Mm-hmm.
Would be my,
so,
my forte.
Yeah, okay. So you would design clothes?
I would have to begin, I would have to learn how to draw much better than I could. Now, mm-hmm. somebody was texted the other day. It was a wonderful conversation. You know, one of those conversations that make you feel better until she says something that you realize ruins your day.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah. So we were talking about, you know, careers, life, so the usual adult bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, if I had to do it again, I'll go into fashion design. As I just mentioned to you.
Yeah.
In case you didn't hear.
Yeah. No, I got it. Fashion design, yeah.
I said, oh, I would go into fashion design. As I just told you.
Yeah.
I told her.
Yeah.
I would go into fashion design.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just told you.
Yeah.
I told her.
So if you weren't unemployed, you'd be a fashion designer.
If I was unemployed, I'd be a fashion designer. So.
Yeah.
So,
no, yeah. Okay.
So she says, the encouraging thing you want every woman to say in that situation, which is, oh yeah, I'm not putting on my voice. She doesn't sound like this. She's not an obese man.
Or is she? Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So she says, oh, you know, yeah, I could see you doing that. It'd be great. And just as I was, you know, composing a heartfelt reply.
Yeah.
To the touching text.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but you'd have to learn how to draw.
Harsh, but honest.
And I was just about to drop everything. I was about to call in my job and quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brought me back down to earth.
But then reality just came crashing
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Are you that bad a drawer? I've never... I mean, I know you've sketched me from time to time. And
yes.
It turned out the renderings...
That's more abstract than charcoal. It's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the coarseness of charcoal suits you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But I mean, those don't turn out too bad. How bad are you at drawing?
I think if I had some decent lessons, like maybe a few,
mm-hmm.
I'd be much better. When I was younger,
yeah,
I was much better.
Mm-hmm.
But then other facets of my skills took off. For example, I was very dexterous with a fork.
Oh well, clearly, yeah, and we see the results of that.
Thank you.
To be honest, though, yeah, I've always wanted to be a good drawer. If you ask me, what's a talent I wish I had? It'd be I wish I could draw.
No, not writing?
Sketch. No. I've given up on that,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. Yeah, it's...
See, I think... Because you dabble much more in the writing than I do. I'm not...
In writing?
I don't claim to have your skill.
Skill?
As he says with raised eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim to have your skill.
We can edit out that laughing, right?
I don't claim to have your skill.
Yeah.
But the thing is with drawing and writing is that seeing something drawn, any art, whatever, is almost instantly tangible. Where writing is not. Writing has to be read and ingested, which makes it more of a burden on the person reading it, if that makes sense. So for example,
yeah,
if I write something,
mm-hmm.
let's say the most profound thing ever written.
He said with raised eyebrows, yes.
I says with raised eyebrows.
I says...
That's not raised eyebrows, that's actually me having a stroke, thanks
for asking. Oh, jeez.
And, you know, let's say I put it in a frame.
What you've wrote?
Yeah.
What you've written?
In a frame.
Wrote or written?
Either one.
Sure.
What do I know? What do I know? Nobody. So let's say I put what I've written, AJ, in a frame. Mm. And I put it beside a piece of a visual painting.
Yeah.
The visual painting is instantly tangible because... Seeing is instant. Reading is not instant.
It makes a quicker impression, perhaps.
Reading, that's why they say pictures with 1,000 words, because when you see something, it's instantly written in your mind, so you then are able to interpret it automatically.
Okay.
Right? Reading, though,
mm-hmm.
is a process that is more of a burden on the recipient of the art than the person writing it. So the person writing it, which is you and I,
mm-hmm.
He said it with raised eyebrows.
Yeah.
For us, it's an artistic thing to do it, but we don't relive it when somebody else reads it. They live it, if that makes sense.
Okay. And with the painting...
It's instantly tangible. It's instantly there.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I just lost interest in what you're saying.
Again, you see, I'm trying to raise the profile of this podcast. But no.
Okay. In an attempt to raise the, you know...
You don't raise anything for me to
know. Okay. That's a shame. Do you ever talk politics on this podcast? Do you ever talk world events?
What world events would you like to
discuss? World issues? Yeah. Well, just the most important events concerning our society, like the Grammys last night. Yeah.
I did not watch. I was watching Madea. Okay. Boo. About a Madea Halloween. That's actually what I watched.
Last night you were watching Boo, Madea, that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so you...
It's not shit, it's fucking amazing.
Sure. Were you,
You want to know what shit? 7 for dinner, 6 for dessert. That's fucking shit.
That joke's for 3 people.
It is, actually, it is.
Me, you, and,
your mother.
And my mom. What was I saying? Madea, were you deliberately avoiding the Grammys, or it just worked out that way?
I was tired.
You were tired, so you watched Madea instead.
But I'll probably watch the Grammys sometime this week. I'll watch it through.
Yeah.
So I can have, you know, a small talk.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of these award shows? This is where I'm leading. Are you looking forward to the Oscars coming up? Or?
You know, the art of segue, AJ, it's not to say this is where I'm leading. It's to say, we talk about one thing and then the other.
No.
Am I looking forward to the Oscars?
I like to show the strings. You see where I'm going.
What does that metaphor mean?
Show the strings, you know?
Speaking of, do you have my guitar? My guitar.
Guitar? What the fuck are you talking about? You have a guitar?
Yeah, remember we used it for a thing?
For what?
For,
No, go on, be specific.
For that...
Anyway. We used it for that orgy.
Which reminds me, I need to fill up bags so I can... with my own shit so I can throw it off stage.
Again, that joke is for such a small group of people.
But, you know, made me laugh.
How did the Oscars and Segway get into guitar, get you thinking about guitar? Or was it the Grammys?
It was the Grammys. Okay. Yeah. No, it was a Segway.
Okay. We got...
Did you watch the Grammys? No, you didn't.
No, I want to get into the Oscars and you're avoiding it. Why are you avoiding
AJ,
it?
AJ, what do you thought about the Oscars?
My thoughts are that it's nice. Good show. I like watching Oscars. It's good. It's a good show. I enjoy it.
Okay, Rayman.
Move on. Rayman won Best Picture. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Fucking know.
Did you? What year?
It's fucking 1987.
Very close.
What is it?
Good for you.
What is it? Good for you. Good for you. Good for you.
Released in 88. Oscars were 89.
Speaking of, who do you think's aged better, Dustin Hoffman or Tom Cruise?
Dustin Hoffman actually looks very young for his age.
Fucking.
You know,
does not age.
Do you know how old he is?
80 now. Gotta be close to there.
I think he's turning 80. Actually, yeah. Looks very young.
No, he does. It looks amazing, actually.
You know, in The Graduate, like he plays a 20-year-old.
How old is he?
He was 30, I believe.
Wow. So he came to acting late. It's not acting late.
No, he did.
Well, famous late.
Well, he was in theater and stuff, but that was.
Yeah, but that's
okay. But that was, his breakthrough was 30, so still a chance for you. You still got some years.
I don't know. I don't think I have the talent I once thought I did.
I know you don't.
At one time, I thought I had like so many youth in the world.
Yeah.
You think you have talent and then you realize.
You realize you're shit.
You realize that you do, but you're just too scared to use.
Nicely done. Yes. Yes.
Well done, sir.
Points to you.
But
am I wrong in saying that, you know, when you look at those late bloomers, they inspire you? The people that,
they
you
do,
know.
They do, but maybe the thing was I chose my idols when wrongly. So, for example, as you know, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I first became a big Rolling Stones fan, I was 18, just turned 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, they became really famous like 1920. You know,
1920?
Not in 1920, but they were 1920.
Okay, there you go.
I'm like, it's my time. And then it's been 5 years.
And nothing's happened for you.
No.
It's fucking sad.
No.
Okay, but see, don't look at people that have success young. You look at, you know...
No, but I don't look at it because they're young. Because there are many examples of people who have success young.
Yeah.
And then also lose it very young.
Right.
They have longevity. Like, it's not just...
Rolling Stones, you mean.
Yeah, they had success young. they've had success for 50 fucking years. There's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but where were they in the 80s? They kind of dipped there, didn't they?
Not the middle 5 years of the 80s.
But fuck, I asked the Rolling Stones question.
They had a dip. We'll use your analogy. They had a dip in the 80s.
They had a dip.
But they still have the two highest grossing concerts of the 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I retract it.
End of the 90s.
Okay, fuck what I said. They're amazing and you're never going to reach that level of success or fame.
No, I genuinely won't.
But don't look at them. Look at people that have come to success.
So who've done shitty, you mean?
No, did shitty, you know, in the early years.
So let's put it like this. We'll use your analogy. Okay, finding success late.
Yeah.
What's your assessment on John Hamm?
My assessment? I think
Because he's come to success late.
Yeah.
But it's really only done one thing.
Two questions there. Hmm. What's late? Mid-30s? Late-30s?
I don't know. Whatever it is. I think he was over even close to 40 when he got married.
So,
said.
Okay,
mid-30s. Whenever he got it.
Okay.
But he's been, I think that means 10 years.
Yeah.
Since the first one.
I have two quick things there. First of all, that's awesome. Even to have one thing is insane. That's amazing.
I think you say that because you want to say that.
I think
you and I both know
yeah.
that if we only became famous for one thing, we would not be happy with ourselves.
Well, no.
Because we don't want to be that. We don't want to be the one hit wonder.
You want to set the world on fire, I know, and make, you know, be famous for all these things.
No. It's not I want to be famous. I'd like to do more than one, this is going to sound really pretentious. More than one masterpiece, if that makes sense.
You weren't kidding when you said pretentious.
No, but I don't know, but
masterpiece.
Like, but you know like your famous decade, the 80s.
Yeah.
The great decade of the one hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you and I would be, I don't think you and I could live that.
Why is that?
Because I think we...
Because homosexuals were discriminated in the 80s?
Yes.
Well, not discriminated against.
I think the 80s was their big...
No, 80s wasn't a good time to be a homo. Ask your dad. I'm sorry. Why? What? Why?
Is it the word homo? What's wrong with you, man? It's 2017.
I apologize.
Homosexual. Gay.
If you're part of the group, you're allowed to say whatever you want.
Yes, apparently that's the rule. So as a black man,
I promised myself we wouldn't get edgy.
No, what was I? But I think you and I both, I think we want long if we have an artistic career, yeah. Which is very.
He said with
his
eyebrows
with,
hit the ceiling
with no eyebrows.
Yeah,
we would want more than one.
Of course,
you know what I mean.
At this rate, I'll take fucking anything. And the fact that John Hamm even had one thing.
No. I'm not. I'm just using him as the example.
What is your problem with John Hamm?
Nothing.
Man is fantastic.
I love Hamm. I have a great relationship with pork.
Yeah, okay, you got me there.
No, but do you know what I mean? I hope I'm not being...
That's because you're just uninformed. He made The Town, that's a great movie. He made Bridesmaids, that was pretty good. Black Mirror, apparently he was in an episode there. Apparently that was well received. John Hamm, that's
a
successful career.
I'm just using it as a...
All right, fuck off.
As a barometer. Let's use another one. Danny DeVito. No,
I got a good one for you.
Who?
Larry David. He's known strictly for Seinfeld and Curb, but that's basically an extension of Seinfeld. Is that not
fantastic? See, I would actually argue the other way, that he's known for Curb and not so much for Seinfeld. I think Jerry Seinfeld has the problem with that one, is that he's known for Seinfeld and nothing else. And Larry David, because he's just a producer, only people who are really into
what we are,
know that he is. For the average person, everybody thinks it's Jerry Seinfeld that did everything because his name's Seinfeld.
They used to think that, but in later years, not even among...
After Curb, though.
Yeah, exactly. But still, he's known... If anything, he's known as the brains behind Seinfeld. That's kind of the...
Yeah, no, that I'm not denying.
That's the story that's emerged. What do you think?
But I think because Seinfeld is more than one episode, so you say, and then he did Curb. So in a way you go, that's not just one thing. I'm talking like if you have one big one-hit wonder, and it's like the last 6 months, and then... That's it.
What are you talking about? I'm saying... What am I saying? Larry David... Here, I'll tell you this.
What?
Larry David didn't get Seinfeld until he was, I think, early 40s, mid-40s.
Oh, he was fucking already euthanized that bastard.
Yeah. And now, do you know what he's worth? You know
what
he's
worth? What is it? But I don't care for the money.
Okay.
Okay, I do, but I don't care for the money.
But it's fascinating.
What is it?
He's worth like... 500 million, that's what they say. 800 is as high as it goes, the numbers that are... The estimates, which I check regularly.
See, the thing, they charge way too much for fucking reruns.
Well, but Seinfeld, there's a demand. People just keep watching. They love it.
That and Friends.
Friends as well. Sorry, before we move on from the subject, you know who the richest actor in the world is?
Who?
Jerry Seinfeld, technically.
Oh, yeah.
Because he received his money for acting, right?
Yeah.
Well, and because he owned the show. But isn't that odd? Maybe one can't even act. Known for one character, and he's the richest actor.
True, true. But the thing is, before he had that show, he was a very famous stand-up.
He still is. He's considered one of the best.
I've never watched enough to know.
I know.
Like, but the thing is, I'm not criticizing. That's just not the stand-up I look for. I'm not a big fan. This is just this preference. It's not a critique. It's just what I prefer in stand-up is the storytelling stand-up, where it's not really jokes. Seinfeld is kind of jokes. Like, you know how I don't like to see the punchline coming.
Right.
Like, I like to be blindsided. Mm-hmm. That's why people like Robin Williams, Billy Connolly, that kind of stand-up, where right. you don't know.
Right.
Like, you really have no idea what's coming.
Right.
And every time you hear a joke,
mm-hmm.
it slaps you because you don't know what's coming.
Right, right.
That I like.
Or the jokes that come prior to the punchline and after the punchline.
That's what I mean. I like the story. I don't like the punch. Like, I don't like the punchline. The punchline is not...
You don't like the one-liner guys, like...
No, I don't like it. I can't watch an hour and a half of that.
Right, well, okay. I can't either.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Because there's some comedians who I love watching. I just can't stand up. Like Jimmy Carr, who is one of the best known for one-liners.
I love...
He's Jimmy very funny. I just can't watch his... But him doing... If he's doing a show, hosting a show...
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's because... That's more my... But that's what I like to watch. It's not a critique so much as... I can watch a stand-up.
Right.
It's just not something I can watch...
I feel the same way as you do. Sure.
Because between Billy Connolly and Robin Williams, for me...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think if anybody else comes to mind.
Louis C.K., I know you're...
Louis C.K., although I'm not well-versed on that side, I'll be honest.
Okay, but you're a fan.
But I'm a fan. People like that.
See...
Lee Mack.
Okay.
People like that, where it's like a... It's more of a story, like you don't know...
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't see the set, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Have you ever seen... I never asked you this. Were you ever a George Carlin guy? Because I don't think you were.
I haven't watched enough.
Yeah,
I still don't know.
You would take to that, like a duck to water.
I still don't know.
He was more a philosopher than a comedian. Legit. Like,
yeah.
He's more interesting to listen. Like, I don't watch his stuff to laugh, really. Like, he's funny, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he's always very enlightening, always.
So, would that be more Bill Maher kind of thing? Although Bill Maher is more satire. It's the same... I'm not gonna say it's the same.
Right.
But that's that kind of comedy.
It's in the same neighborhood, yeah. I guess.
See, that's one thing with Bill Maher, maybe this is my psychology coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem with Bill Maher is that you don't think it has longevity. It's because it's a joke, it's kind of, it's satire because it's satire.
Right.
It's based on the news. It's hard to go back 10 years later when without really knowing
okay.
what happened that week. It's sometimes hard, not always.
Yeah.
Not with his segments, his speech segments. Those are okay.
Right.
The other...
But you're talking strictly about his show, not just his stand-up per se. Right? Like
his stand-up is the same, though.
Is it, though? Like, it's just current stuff?
I watch it. It's very good.
Right.
But it's current stuff, and you kind of have to know...
But he...
Now you kind of have to know. He lays it out well.
Yeah.
But it's different than, let's say, George Carlin or Robin Williams or... Where the story is...
It doesn't have that timeless aspect.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
But like I said, he's doing his own... It's comedy plus, in a way. It's comedy plus service, if that makes sense.
Comedy.
So giving up...
Comedy plus... Okay. Information.
Right. That makes sense.
Okay, sure. If you had to pick a favorite, though, you'd go Robin Williams, I suppose?
For stand-up?
Just stand-up.
For pure stand-up? Oof.
Just if you had to watch 2 hours of stand-up, who's the guy? It's who else? Billy?
It would be Robin Williams.
Yeah.
But Billy would be writing, oh, wow, I don't know.
Robin. You know what? Go Billy, because Robin gets enough credit.
No, because they're both influential for me, so that's my... Robin was always influential.
Mm-hmm.
From when I was maybe 12.
When you were a young lad, when your kids first came in.
When I first told you what's going on my highlight.
Around the same time as that.
Yep.
So,
and then Billy Connolly, the last maybe 7 years or so,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know how I discovered him. And then it was fantastic. It was like,
I remember you not forcing him on me, but I remember you were very, you know, enthusiastic showing me
because
some of
this because
stuff.
every time you watch him, it's like a surprise. It's like everyone Robin Williams have that characteristic where you know. Even when we went to go watch Craig Ferguson is another one.
Mm-hmm.
We went to, when you watch because Craig Ferguson went to go watch live together and Robin Williams too, but not stand up. Watched an interview.
Right. Same thing. Sure.
Is that it's you? You know you're going to watch a comedy show, but when you watch it, you're not. It's not jokes. It's not jokes.
Right. Right. There's more to it than that.
It's a more well-rounded.
Right. I agree with
and
you.
And I think those, like, we're going to become very pretentious now. The comedy connoisseur.
Hello.
Doesn't like that.
What? Like the storytelling aspect? The straightforward?
You and I both know people who watch a lot of comedy.
Okay.
Who Billy Connolly and Robin Williams are not. For us, they are, but for them, they're not.
Yeah, I think
they look as they look at the forming of the joke as the genius.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, oh, look how they constructed this joke. Where we look as more of the performance as the genius. The other way around.
You're getting too heady for me. But I think I agree with you for the most part. But see, it's unfair. You can't say Robin Williams and Billy Connolly are underrated as stand-ups. I know you're not saying that.
I think that's not the hipster's choice, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Seinfeld isn't either. He's kind of in that same boat. Like,
I'm just saying.
Put personal taste aside, like he's dated in a way.
Yeah, because he really hasn't done much in the thing. But that's his jokes, yeah.
But even revisiting his good stuff, like people, it doesn't seem like there's a nice big response to his stuff nowadays. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I haven't watched enough. I'm just saying from somebody who, you two as well, we watched a lot of comedy, us and our
clan.
Our clan.
Yeah.
And we were very much in the minority when it came to Robin Williams and Billy Connolly. And I just think it's, but then again, we never really went with the crowd, is perhaps another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, we never got overly pretentious about it, one.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think we prefer the performance over... For example, a joke works for me almost if anybody says it.
Okay.
So a joke is, I read that 10 out of 2 people are dyslexic.
Sure.
It's a joke.
Is it a joke?
Well, it's also true, but it's a joke.
Went over my head.
Anyway, I'm just saying, that's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you read it, it's funny.
Yeah.
But you cannot read Robin Williams or Billy Connolly stand-up. Because it's not so much the words as the performance.
Okay.
They go in tandem together. For example, I once watched a documentary, and it's true, because they said, for like a joke, you can say, oh, so-and-so said this joke, I'll tell you this joke.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you, like Rodney Dangerfield is another one, for example,
mm-hmm.
had jokes. Funny, very funny. But anybody could tell, like you could repeat it to a friend, it's funny.
Right.
I would have to do Robin Williams' set as he did it for it to be funny. If that makes any sense.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
But are you saying, though, that makes him a better comedian, or that's just your personal choice? That's just...
I don't know if it makes him a better comedian. It's a personal choice. I just think people who get overly critical of it,
mm-hmm.
they look down on that because it's not really a joke. It's the guy's...
Right. Well, see, performance. I think the opposite end of that is George Carlin. Like, his way of delivering the jokes was nothing... You know, wasn't very unique or special in any specific way. But like, if you look at...
And watch.
Okay, well, you should. But like, if you read all his material, I think it's hilarious. Just because his writing is what was good about his stand-up.
Yeah, no. I get that. I understand that comedy.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand what you're saying.
It's just
too.
Not...
I think there's...
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, though. That's the thing. So everybody looks at the George Carlins, the Louis
Richard
C.K.,
Pryor.
The Rich... what good writers.
Yeah.
But then we say that Robert Palmer is Billy Connolly, even though essentially it's the same process.
Yeah. You know what it is? They make it seem like it's off the top
That's
of
the
their
thing.
Head.
That's the thing, is that I think that you can, even in comedy, there's a pretentiousness. If you raise it
mm-hmm.
to, all this is, that's something more than it is, just something overly aggrandized.
Right.
So you say, oh, look how fantastic this writing is. I'm a genius because I wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it looked at that way. If that makes sense, you look at as a writer.
Right.
But nobody said about Robin Williams is a performer. He's the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then we say somebody's a performer, it's almost like you.
Well, you know,
it's almost like, oh, he's an entertainer. It's like, oh, you take him down.
You know, the worst word is entertainer.
Entertainer. You said that's the thing. You take him down. Always an entertainer. So you take him down.
Right. Right. Well, okay. I think we've analyzed that which should not be analyzed.
No, exactly.
That's too much.
That's like or was it somebody, Jimmy Carr?
Jimmy Carr, what?
Analyzing a joke is like dissecting a frog. It's not funny, and you don't really learn anything.
Okay. Here's a Jimmy Carr joke for you.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself and your mother.
Yeah.
Homosexual got into a car crash, and now he's paralyzed. He can't move. So it's the first instance of someone being both a fruit and a vegetable at the same time.
But you see, like, it's, don't get me wrong, it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Of course it's funny, I said it.
It's funny, but you could read it and it's still funny.
Right.
You can't read Robin Williams, whatever, Choose One.
Right, right.
Or Billy Connolly's Choose One.
Right.
Like, I know you, Billy Connolly's
right.
I know you.
Right.
Like, it's not a joke. Like, he says that it's for real, and I hope to God it is.
Mm-hmm.
All the stories can't be for real.
Right.
So somewhere, there has to be something. Now, he says himself he doesn't write it, but just because you don't write it doesn't mean it's not, you know, writing. Just because you don't put it on the piece of paper.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not writing.
Robin Williams, I'm sure a lot of it was improv, but you could still say it was good writing.
That's like, what I mean.
The structure of it and all that nonsense. I think.
Yeah, no, for me, he was on another.
I think we've discovered positively what makes a great comedian. Well done, sir.
And that will never be one.
Exactly.
Mm.
So, wow, depressing more than anything. Okay. Well, I think we've said it all.
So much for doing the German accent we planned.
Oh, were we supposed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But now that you're wearing an extremely racist sweater.
The viewers don't have to know that, or the listeners, whatever you want to call
it. No, it's fine. We'll
do did what you want to do a quick question segment? I heard you were a big fan of that. I heard the rumors you wanted to bring that back. Okay, never mind. Michael, edit that part out. Goodbye, podcast is over.
Okay, I'll ask a question.
Oh, shit, that's not what's supposed to happen. Go ahead. Not personal.
If you were on death row.
Yeah.
What would be your last meal? Now, here's my thing.
Yeah.
I actually, while I'm a lover of food, wouldn't eat anything. Because I'd be too worried of shitting myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or of having to shit. Can I? If you're on death row and you're about to get executed.
Yeah.
Can you take a bathroom break? Excuse me, I gotta take a shit.
You mean after they've buckled you down?
No, chair? Like just, yeah, ish.
See, I have the opposite feeling. Like I would overeat and stuff myself so that I shit myself and vomit.
So you would explode.
Explode and make a mess for everybody.
On the point of impact.
Yeah, and just say, fuck them, clean me up. That's what you get for fucking frying my brains out.
Oh, God. Mm.
So your question was, what would my last meal be? It would be lots of tacos. That's basically Mexican.
You know, I don't think I've ever had a proper taco.
No? You should try
like
it.
Like a good one.
Tacos are lovely. You should have a taco.
Good.
Put a little meat in that taco. It's a great thing.
We used to go for fajitas all the time.
Fajitas? All you can eat fajitas. Yeah. Yeah, whatever happened, how come we stopped that tradition?
They stopped doing it.
They stopped doing it because of us, we put them.
Because of us.
They realize it's a bad thing.
We used to drive.
Let's not get into that.
We used to drive for like 45 minutes in traffic.
Just to have
all just to go up to the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not, it's not that far, but for us it felt like the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah.
Us city people.
Way north?
Way north.
Way north, right? Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like fucking Bathurst and that good meal, something like.
No, it was
stupid for us.
Yeah, yeah. But it was all worth it for.
But it was worth it.
All you can eat fajitas.
For fajitas.
Fajitas.
And fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Good quality. I don't remember the price. I don't recall the prices.
I think they were 19 or 20, which was.
$20 and you had what, maybe 50 fajitas?
We used
to. In a sitting?
We used, look. Jesus. I used to get me a ginger ale.
Yeah.
For extra space.
Yeah. Ginger ale helps the overeating process.
And we used to really go.
We used to pack ourselves full.
They used to bring these little cups of toppings.
Uh-huh.
Which would last one fajita.
Right.
People were playing games with us.
Uh-huh.
But then, we kind of used to get bowls of shit. We used to bring us that bucket of sour cream.
Yeah.
Just leave it here by the table.
Very irresponsible. We used to fill ourselves up stupid and then go eat fajitas. And yep. It was lovely. It was lovely.
Those are the days.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my last meal would be tacos. What was your last meal, did you say?
My last meal If I had... What time was I getting killed?
11 a.m.
11 a.m.?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would want...
No, but your last meal would be the night before, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe so. I'll have to corroborate that. But let's say you're getting executed in the morning, your last meal is the night prior. Like, that makes a really... Does that make a difference? You know
what? I probably would not go decadent. Like, I wouldn't go for a steak or anything like that. I think...
I know.
What?
Sfoglia cake.
That would be there as well.
That would...
That's about, talk about not going decadent. But anyway.
Yeah.
I would... What would I want? I probably want something very simple. I would probably want something like... Either like some ribs in the oven. Like old school style.
Old... Yeah.
Or like, what would I want? I would want something.
Alright, you're overthinking it. Fuck it.
Pizza. I want a soup. No, I wouldn't want
pizza. You're sitting there deciding. The guard just saying, fuck this guy. Give him a pizza.
Apparently, it actually is a budget. You can have a last meal depending if it falls within the budget.
Really? Because I heard different. Yeah. I heard you can order literally anything you fucking want.
It was on QI. That means it has pizza.
You see, maybe that changed because I heard that it used to be you could get whatever you want. And a guy ordered all this stuff, like crazy
tacos.
Amounts.
He actually ordered tacos.
I don't know if it was tacos. But he got like literally, like you read it, and it's like enough to feed 20 people. And he didn't touch it. And people were pissed off at him. He did it as a last fuck you to them. He ordered all this stuff. They prepared it for him, and then he just sat there and said, fuck it, I don't want it. And I think maybe that's where they changed it, perhaps.
I don't know. I heard there was a budget. They could have whatever they had so long as it...
But that's a good deal. You get anything, literally anything. Lobster.
But the thing is, you can't eat it all.
Lobster gas.
See, can I say a lobster, I think, is overrated.
Mm-hmm. Why
is and that? I think you would agree.
Fuck you, I don't agree.
Let's go to that Italian restaurant that shall remain nameless so nobody else goes and fucks it up.
Italian restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's call her the expensive Italian restaurant.
Yeah, the expensive one.
Just to be specific.
We both had that lobster pasta.
I think you had 2 servings of it. I didn't have any.
No. You had one.
Did I?
I had 2. I think.
Okay.
And be honest, the lobster added nothing to that pasta.
Maybe that specific dish. Sure, but lobster in general.
That Pacific ditch?
Ditch. Did I say ditch?
Yeah, you meant.
I meant, fuck you.
Good.
Lobster in general is quite good. Of course it is. It's...
I don't know. It's, kind of
it's regarded as the best
I
shit up
there. Dungeness crab.
Dungeness. She's a bit Dungeness. That's a reference for nobody.
The horizontal bamboo.
Yeah. She uses her vibrator, the lights go in and out. It's like a prison movie. Alright, let's stop it there. Let's stop it before we embarrass ourselves.
When I hold this cold meat.
You know what it would
be? Reminds me of Winston.
It would be a good idea to just recite the whole movie. Instead of talking about bullshit.
Shall we?
Next time.
Right
from the beginning.
No, you will kill me.
But piss off, Lou.
No, you will kill me. You will kill me.
Alright, I think we've proven that we're just sad and lonely and this should end.
I think I know what I'm doing now on Valentine's Day.
Masturbating.
Did that fire.
Yep. Classic. Classic you and Valentine's
Day. I'm gonna say, Phelps on the way, dear.
Okay.
Should we recite to them what happened when we went to the drive-thru for these coffees?
Alright, that's your last story then I'm cutting you off.
You tell it.
I have to tell it?
Yep.
No, I don't want to tell it.
You tell it. If I tell it, it's fine.
I'm not gonna do it justice though.
Okay, I'll do the justice, you do the rest.
Okay. At Tim Horns, at Tim Horns, this fucking guy ordered a coffee, made a voice, it was amusing. And here we are. How's that? Go ahead, tell it.
It's okay.
Alright,
fuck it. It's not funny now that you literally just told the boring parts.
You're doing an accent in the drive-thru, and the girls were laughing on the, what do you call that? The monitor?
The intercom.
The intercom. And then when you pulled up, they said, oh my god, that was you doing that voice? Do you wanna fuck me? And then he went in, held up the drive-thru, mind you, went in, fucked 3 waitresses, or?
What the fuck are you saying?
I don't know. I've lost all sense of...
Why do Wakanda places have waitresses? I'm not talking about the rest. Where the fuck is a waitress?
I'm done.
Oh, anyway, AJ.
Yeah. Mr. Lumpy, it's been a pleasure.
I wish I could say the same.
Yeah. I wish we had like a nice final joke to go around. That was just, you know, like a strong finish to play into the whole comedian.
Should we do one in the accents? I can do one like this.
I feel like I'm stroking. I need to stop talking now.
I will do it, son. You have a stroke, I will protect you from the stroke.
Here's a question. Who does a better German accent? Give me a line to say. We'll both say
okay.
It. Oh, and then the listeners can write in and tell us who has a better one.
Did you just smack me?
I'm sorry. That idea got me excited.
We will say this. Master?
What?
Master?
Master?
Master.
Master.
Matzer.
Matzer.
Fine, I will say it in English.
Yeah, yeah.
Mother?
Yeah.
The milk has curdled.
I can't memorize all that.
Mother, the milk has curdled. So I guess, mother, the milk has curdled.
You fucking vermin.
Mother.
I have to swear in it.
Mother. You fucking vermin. Yeah. I will kill you like I did cigarettes.
You have a good, I can't compete with that. That's brilliant.
You think what you went through in Lepa is bad? wait till I get my hands on some cloth. See, you don't have to say anything bad. You just say it like...
And it sounds
vicious.
You know
what? Here, I will play a German tailor, right? For example.
Go ahead.
Okay, sir. Could you please take off your pants? I will begin some measurements now.
It sounds scary.
On what side do you dress, sir? Can you please not clench your testicles? Would you like two buttons or three?
Sir, don't clench your ass. You're hurting my penis. Wait a minute. What kind of tailors have I been going to?
Please, sir, relax. It allows for easier slippage.
I will not pull out, sir. That wasn't
if the you agreement. If you realize, sir, I have left you a little bit extra in the coat pocket.
All right, anybody... Let's end on that. Anybody who's still listening, this has to end now.
Oh, come on. Come on.
It's been a pleasure, Mr.
Would you
Rappi.
Like me to leave you something in the pan cuffs?
As long as you make yourself laugh. That's what's important.
It's true. I fucking love this. I can do this all day.
Okay.
Can you imagine me doing like a serious role in the movie, like with an accent, and every other line they have to cut because I laugh?
I sure.
You
I
will not
it.
Take this crown from us. It is all...
Alright, you're having too much fun.
Huh? Okay, one last line from the tailor, one last one. There is a reason I give all my clients a free handkerchief.
So you should have ended it before. Fuck
it
hell.
Is so they can wipe up the mess.
This is stupid.
Oh,
this is too stupid. End it, please.
I think you know what I'm doing on Valentine's Day now.
Killing yourself,
it's
hope.
It's okay, Gus, but you will find someone one day when this is all over.
Oh, God.
Anyway, boys.
Boys?
And girls. And the two lovely smileys.
Yeah, there's been... Okay, sure.
What?
No, I'm done.
Please don't forget to send in any questions for next episode on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we will we'd love to do some for you. We will do some greatly.
Oh, my God. It's officially Valentine's
Day. It's officially Valentine's Day. The show will end here like this.
Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, AJ.
Oh, God.
Did you bring the handkerchief for the cleanup?
Why do you have a boner?
I don't.
Oh, it's just a bulge in your pants. Cool.
It's actually a growth from my testicles.
Get that checked out, Mr. Lumpy.
Anyway, that is what they call Mr. Lumpy.
And we've solved that.
Anyway, everybody, that was fun. Thank you for listening.
I apologize for everything we said.
On behalf of AJ and myself, I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Same by